Check the mic and make sure it sound right, boys.
Welcome to Red Storm Chasers. I'm Vincent here with Nick. Welcome back. It's been a while for the Red Storm Chasers, but on this episode, we're going to look back at the win against Xavier, and then we'll look ahead to the Georgetown and Providence games. Nick, good to be back on with you.
Yeah, it's great to be back. I missed the last couple, and it's been a while since we've been on together.
Yeah, during our hiatus, it was a little, you know, we traveled a bit, not as a family, obviously. So it was just kind of hard to coordinate. You know, January is a busy month. So just good time for St. John's basketball. 3-0 during the time of which we've had a bit of a lapse in episodes with wins against Georgetown, Seton Hall, and Xavier. That Seton Hall win, which I was more nervous about. Yeah, more nervous about than I probably needed to be, clearly. Was just dominant. I mean, almost 30 points at the Prudential Center. You know, I was nervous because it was at the Prudential Center, but clearly no reason to be.
Yeah, were you terrible at the Prudential Center? I think we won like, what, once in the last 10 years? Yeah. 10 seasons?
Not great, but this season great.
For that one, actually.
This season great.
Oh, no, it wasn't. It wasn't at the Prudential Center. Never mind.
No, that was at the Walsh Gym game.
That was at the Walsh Gym.
Yeah.
Great success at Walsh Gym.
That's okay. We take more games there, even though we won this year. Still a house of horrors for us. Anyway, all right. This week, the starting five. The starting five for us this week, Nick, is going to be the five best parts of going to a game in Madison Square Garden.
Ooh, I like that. That's a good one.
So that'll be the starting five. I'll give you a minute to think about it, so I'll go first. Okay. Obviously, I thought about it as I came up with the question. My number one, I guess this is in no particular order, since it's the starting five, not a top five, but the atmosphere, just the general atmosphere in Madison Square Garden is just, you know, a great feeling. I feel like it's energized, even though, listen, we've had a lot of games where we haven't had a lot of people and it's kind of quiet. There's just always kind of a cool feeling of being at Madison Square Garden. So that's why I put the atmosphere on my list. Second one I listed was the busyness of the concourses. I always think it's kind of cool seeing all the fans from other teams, but also, you know, a lot of red as you walk through the kind of tight in some, you know, if you're in the second level, it's certainly tight. The main concourse is a little more spread out, but
I like that you get to see everybody's like, what everybody's wearing. Like some people are wearing jerseys, some people.
I think that's a cool part. That little flag. Right. Yeah. I think that's a cool part of it, you know, of the concourse there. I said the lighting, third, how the court is very obviously, and this is kind of true of all arenas. However, I feel like the navy blue seats, and kind of the darker paint in Madison Square Garden makes the court feel more illuminated than other places.
Okay.
Which it makes it a real focal point, which I find to be very interesting, very cool. My fourth one was the drinks. I love those little Madison Square Garden cups. okay. If you get an alcoholic beverage, you know what I'm talking about. You know, they used to come with like a sippy top, but you know, they still sort of do, but not as much.
You like the sippy top?
I do. I think it's cool. I think it's, you know, what better way to drink alcohol than out of an adult sippy cup?
I do like that. They didn't want to use plastic straws anymore, so they just made plastic lids.
Yeah, that's better. Nice. But no, I do like those little cups. I don't know why. I just think they're funny. And my last one is, and everybody who's been to a game at Madison Square Garden will remember or will, you know, can attest to this being a major moment, is the escalators going up and down. Most people take the stairs going down, but the escalators going up to the game is always kind of a cool feeling.
No, it's kind of build as you're going up.
Yeah, you can hear some noise, some chatter back and forth between people if it's a big game or, you know, it's particularly busy. So I think that's a cool spot and kind of unique to Madison Square Garden because most courts are obviously you walk in, you're on court level, but Madison Square Garden, the court level is on the fifth floor. So, you know, it's kind of different in that aspect. Nick, what's your starting five?
Yeah, so in my starting five, I definitely have to agree with you that the atmosphere is one of my favorite, like in the stadium too, like in the bowl more particularly. Like I like looking around and everybody's like kind of, there's like a everybody's a little juiced up, especially recently, maybe this year, a little more so than past years. Everybody's a little more juiced up. Everybody's ready to go. And there's like, I feel like us as fans are just like we're all kind of similar, right? Where other programs, like, you get a kind of mixed bag of, like, you know, old alumni and all this. We do have old alumni, but also even the older alumni, like, yell their heads off. So everybody's kind of, we're all basketball minded people, right? There's no football, that fun stuff.
Yeah, I think that's kind of very true of St. John's fans, is that, listen, there's been a lot of hard years, right? As we all know. And there's a lot of games where there haven't been a lot of people in attendance. But when you do look around, you see a lot of mixed fans, old, young, mainly older fans, but who bring the same energy, like you said, Nick. So that is cool to see.
So my number two, or I guess my second starting thing, would be the ceiling in MSG. Super iconic.
Okay.
It kind of goes to your point with the lighting, too, because they have the red lights, especially when we're playing, they have the red lights going on top. It's I just love, like, looking it up every time I go. It's just, MSG is amazing. It's, you know,
it's a very, very cool
famous arena.
That's right.
For a reason. My number three would be seeing Louis' banner up
That's
in the
a good
rafter.
One.
You know, seeing 526, seeing St. John's represented in MSG at all times is pretty cool. My fourth one would be at halftime, I go to Madison Bar, which is between section 102 and, I mean, 101 and 102.
Nice.
A lot of, like, some of the former managers that I was managers with meet there, and there's a lot of people there. It's to your point about being jam-packed in the concourse.
Yeah,
that
matters. Yeah. Like,
shoulder to shoulder, hard to get through.
It does get busy there.
It is a nice meeting point. I get to talk to people that I used to know, which is always nice. And then my fifth and final one would be screaming at games. It's kind of not only just an MSG, it's kind of a sports general thing. I just love that, you know, being at a sporting event is the only time where you can really scream your head off and nobody cares. As long as you're, like, clean with it, right? You can't be cursing and yelling.
Yeah, that's fair.
As long as you're yelling cleanly and not being too obnoxious, you can kind of scream whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just great. It's a great place to get your emotions out.
It certainly is, and particularly this season for St. John's. But no, that's a good starting five, Nick. I like that. Let us know your starting five. Hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, you know, let us know. This season, by the way, Madison Square Garden, rocking for St. John's.
Oh, yeah.
Undefeated at home. And the most recent game we're going to talk about right now, was incredible. Incredible atmosphere. It was the win against Xavier we're talking about on Tuesday. Overtime win, 79-71. It was a bigger test. Xavier's a good team. Their team, they beat UConn this past weekend. So they're a team who's got a shot at making the tournament. And
the next four out, according to Joe Lunardi, before the UConn win.
Right. So there you go. So they're probably going to be, you know, they're in that first four in category ish, bouncing around in that area.
Last four, probably.
But we completed the sweep against them. And when you start compiling sweeps against teams, you know, that's a good feeling, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a feeling that we're not too used to recently.
Absolutely. And what it really is it gives us another good win. Now, the knock on us, if you will, is that we haven't played anybody, but Xavier's a legit team. Xavier's a constant tournament team. Go look over the past however many years. They're constantly in the mix. They're a good program. They're a good team this year, obviously. We talked about them beating UConn. So, you know, when you get a nice win like that at home, the atmosphere is obviously great, and it just helps build our resume even further.
No, I agree 100%. Also, like, it's funny. I agree that people are saying, like, oh, we haven't been tested. We haven't played a lot of people. We played Baylor, who was ranked at a point, especially when we played them. We played them to double overtime, and we lost by 1 point.
Yeah. Right?
We've played, and by the way, they're also in Joe Lunardi's in the tournament right now. Right now. We lost to Georgia, which we looked awful in. They're also a tournament team right now.
Yeah,
by Joe Lunardi. Now they got waxed by Florida by 30 yesterday. But
that's all right.
But they're still probably going to be in the mix.
They'll still probably be a tournament team. Yeah, I mean, both those teams have floated with being ranked. They've been ranked. They've dropped out. They've been ranked. They've dropped out recently.
Listen, we played Kansas State in the Big 12 Challenge.
It's a real game.
We played Virginia, by the way, in the second game of the Bahamas. Let's not forget that, right? And we played New Mexico, who's also a tournament team right now.
New Mexico's our best win, to be honest, and they are on track to win the Mountain West. So, you know, I know people don't necessarily think of the Mountain West, although Mountain West is a very good basketball conference. They got five teams in last year. That's a real win. That's a legit win.
Yeah, they're 58 in the net right now. So if they get up to 50, that win will look like a lot better. So to say that we haven't been tested is a little not true. It's a little unfair.
Yeah, I mean, we're certainly in the easier part of our Big East schedule right now. You know, things are going to, you know, we play Marquette twice and UConn twice in the February section. But to be fair, you can only beat the teams you play. And we've done a great job at beating the teams we play. And I think Xavier is a perfect example of that. They are a real tournament team, most likely, or a fringe tournament team, and we swept them. So you got to give credit where credit's due. But I think the people who are kind of anti us, you know, they can just wait and watch, right? This team finds ways to win. And no matter what, we're on trending to be a team that is, you know, a force from the Big East. So anyway, let's look back at that Xavier game. 79-71, we won in overtime. Not our best three-point shooting effort. Another game where we made one three-pointer. We were 1 for 12, which is 8%. Shot 47% from the field, though, to Xavier's 40. So, you know, a bit higher in that category. Good from the free throw line as well, 82%. The +7 rebound margin certainly helped. And then at the end of the day, we actually ended up even on the turnover margin. So this was a game where we kind of not gritted it out, but we, you know, down the stretch, it was a back and forth game. It was a close game, and we did what we needed to do to get the job done.
Yeah, we really we were just, as you said, we were just grittier than them. It seemed like we wanted it more towards the end of the game. Now, of course, you know, we have a terrible first half, as we always have. But then we really just turned it up in the second half, which is incredible. It's very different from what we've seen in the past, and we're good at it. Like you said, we find ways to win. Good teams find ways to win. We're a good team.
We are very much a second half team. We were down by 10 at halftime. We were down 40-30 at halftime. We were down as much as 16 in this game. found our way back in the second half, as we always do. Came roaring back with a huge run. And, you know, brought ourselves into overtime. Kadari Richmond, what a game, right? Led the team, 19 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. But I actually think, listen, Kadari's been coming on these past few games. Now, he's only had 2 Big East games, actually, where he's scored under 10 points. But these past 3 games, I think you've kind of seen a resurgence of the player we kind of expected him to be. And I think this game in particular, he took over a bit down the stretch. He was the general on the court, you know, leading the team, you know, making the drives, getting fouled, hitting the free throws, which I personally was excited to see, because he's a guy that this is the kind of Kadari Richmond we kind of expected to see all season. Yeah. And it really came to light in this game, and it led us to victory.
Yeah, he really did. He decided towards the end of the game, like, I'm just going to take the ball and I'm going to run it down their throats. And he did. He made a couple mistakes. I can't believe that he went up for that layup and then he tried to make it a dunk and then he just completely whiffed it.
Well, it happens.
It was not a great look. But hey, he got the job done at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. He's heading in the right direction. Zuby, RJ, Wilcher all had 16 this game. So 4 of our 5 starters were in double digits, which you'll absolutely love to see. For Xavier, Ryan Conwell absolutely killed us from 3. He was 4 of 9. He had 21 points on the day. Swain had 16 points, and Fremantle, who's you know, there's no way his NBA career can be as long as his college career, which has gone on for 15 years now at this point. But he had 14 as well. But he ended up fouling out, which I think helped us in overtime because it cleared out the space down low a little bit.
Well, definitely. But Aaron Scott also fouled out, too, for us, so that hurt us.
Yeah, that was not great. But, I mean, listen, in overtime, you're likely to get guys who are going to foul out, right? And it's just going to happen. You know, fortunately for us, Aaron Scott wasn't having a great game, to be honest. He had 5 points, which is fine, but it wasn't his best game. So, you know, I think the foul trouble hurt him.
Yeah. No, it definitely hurt them more.
Yeah, for sure. It was nice to see. Listen, Ruben Prey got a lot of time in this game. 17 minutes, he got 6 rebounds in the game, 5 defensive rebounds. Didn't put any points on the board, but it's nice to see him get some minutes. And Vince played great in this game. He didn't play for all that long. He played for 6 minutes, but he got 5 points. And he had a great sweet sequence there where he made a block, got back, got a bucket and a foul. It was great. It's great to see these other guys get involved, because the benefit of having a deep team is you're going to need these guys down the stretch, right? I mean, we play a lot of people for a reason, so it's good to see these guys step in and take advantage of the time they get.
Yeah, no, everybody, especially Vince in particular in this game, everybody's been coming in with energy, you know what I mean? We just, like we both said, like, we just out-hustled them, right? Like, towards the end of the game. In the first half, we were a little, we always seem to be a little
trepidatious
in the first half. But we really turned it up, and we get into another gear, and then we feed off the energy of MSG, you know what I mean? That's why, it's funny how quiet it gets sometimes when we're not on a good run, and then all of a sudden we liven up in a second and it's roaring.
Yeah, no, it is great to be at home when you go to overtime, for sure. And overtime was all St. John's. I mean, we dominated overtime. I mean, listen, we won by 8 points, which doesn't sound like that much, but when you think about it, in overtime, we outscored them 14-6.
Yeah.
It was just a dominant overtime for us. We took the lead right away.
We turned them over real quick.
Very quickly, we were up by 5, and we never looked back.
Kadari hit a jumper, you know what I mean? And then it was just like, all right, we're winning this. We're just a better team.
We were up 8.
Once you get the overtime, the better team wins.
Yeah, we were up 8 before they even scored in overtime. So when you get up like that, you're bound for a good result. All right, that was the one game this past week. So Nick, let's do our spotlight player of the week. Obviously, it's small sample to look at, just the one game. I'll let you go first, but I know who I'm voting for.
I think this week you got to go with Kadari Richmond. He had 19 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. You know, he was everywhere. He was commanding, and he's turning into what he used to be. Right, so I think he's clearly the spotlight player of the week.
I would agree. I think you have to go Kadari Richmond. I think it's not even much of a question. Like you said, you read his stat line. Fantastic game for him, and he really took over. It wasn't a quiet 19. It was a controlling 19. Because at the end of the game, he was the guy on every drive, going down, getting the basket. So great for him.
4 minutes.
Spotlight player of the week. He well deserved spotlight player of the week. Hopefully we get a lot more Kadari Richmond. I'd love to see him really explode back onto the scene. Not that he's been whatever. Like I said, he's only had 2 games where he didn't score 10 points. It's just he tends to score quietly sometimes. Yeah. So it's great to see him kind of have a loud game as a term. So he's Kadari Richmond, spotlight player of the week. As we head into looking ahead, we currently sit tied first place with Marquette. In the Big East, we're 8-1 in Big East play, 17-3 on the year. Our net ranking is 26. Our KenPom ranking is 18, which I absolutely love to see. Obviously, we were ranked 20 this past week. There'll be a new ranking coming out on Monday. We're recording before that, so I'm sure we'll remain in the rankings because we didn't lose. We may even go up. I would assume, particularly after the Xavier beating UConn. Helps us there. We'll probably go up a few spots, which would be nice.
Yeah.
I also think, just to talk about that Xavier win over UConn a little bit, I actually think it's huge for two reasons. First of all, it gives the boost that I talked about. Secondarily, which is not common for us, right? I want to talk about something that we haven't really thought about in quite a while as a St. John's. What it really does is it helps us in the Big East standings with a chance to win the conference. Because it puts UConn 2 games behind us. They have two. They now have 3 losses in conference. We only have 1. So just getting a little more gap between teams is great. I know it's not something that St. John's fans automatically start to think about in terms of how we can win the Big East regular season. But we got a shot this year, guys, and that's a win like that actually helps us quite a bit. The more losses they have. Obviously, we're going to play them twice.
Right.
So, if we can beat them twice, that's going to, we're going to clear them, right? But if we split or something, a loss like this gives us a nice, little gap. Which is just nice to see. Nice to have that conversation, to be completely honest, that we can even think about that being a thing.
You make me want to break down every single game that's coming up. The next 11 games left. And yeah. No, I definitely agree that the Xavier win over UConn was good, especially because, like you said earlier, or like we talked about earlier, Xavier is or was like the next four out or first four out or whatever. Now they should be considered like the last four in, right? And if we can get that fifth Big East team, I think that's good for the conference. If half of our, just below half of our conference makes the tournament, it's been very, very beneficial for us.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we've obviously been Big East fans for a long time. You know, it's always beneficial for the league to do well. This year, I find myself not as interested in that. not completely, just, you know, we now have a much bigger rooting interest in our success being the only success that matters because we're there.
100%. I just think it would be nice if the people below us could get a little.
No, you're 100% right, Nick. It's just funny the change in, well, yes, that's very nice for the Big East to do well. However, if we could also win the conference and, you know, get as high of a seed as humanly possible in the NCAA tournament, that's my main focus, which is funny because for years it's always been, will we make it? Can we make it? Can we do it? And this team who just goes out and wins has the mindset very changed.
Joe Lunardi and a lot of the other bracketologists have us in the five seed right now, which I think is a little disrespectful considering we're 20 in the country.
I see a lot as in the six.
Five and six then.
Okay.
I think Lunardi had us in the five.
Either way, I'm with you, Nick. Disrespectful. I mean, like, five or six. I mean,
we're 20 in the country. We're going to be higher than 20. We're going to be a top 20 team.
We're going to be. We should be after this week, yeah.
We almost certainly will. Like you said, with UConn's loss. Baylor, I believe, lost.
Yeah, there are several teams in front of us that lost as well. So, you know, we should shift up in that category. But yeah, no, that's okay. Let them disrespect us. Let them think we're not as good as we are. It goes back to the conversation about, like, you know, oh, you haven't beat anybody. That's fine. That's fine. Think that. Please think that. Underestimate us coming into the game.
And you know what the best part about all this is, too?
What?
Big East tournament, baby. MSG home game.
Yeah.
If we can get a ruckus crowd this year, this could be our year, baby.
Listen, we saw it in the Villanova game. We saw it in the Xavier game. Loud crowds for St. John's these past few Madison Square Garden games. And we're in the Madison Square Garden section of our schedule, if you will.
Yeah. Now it gets juicy. Now we have our tougher schedules.
For sure. Well, the first game this week, not at Madison Square Garden, we got to take a trip to D.C. to play at Georgetown on Tuesday. Georgetown 13-7, 4-5 in the Big East. This game Tuesday, 6:30 on Fox Sports 1. They're a sneaky team, though. In our last meeting, we beat them 63-58. They're coming off of a loss against Providence, which the Providence fans were more than happy to beat Ed Cooley at home. But they're a sneaky team. They're not someone, you know, coming into the season, it was like, after last season's terrible season for them, it was like, Georgetown can be bad again. They're actually pretty decent. So they're not someone to overlook. And I think we saw that in our last matchup with them. 63-58 is pretty close. Closer than I think some of us thought it would be, particularly for a game at home.
Yeah, and it's a rivalry game, you know. Everybody gets up for a rivalry game. We got history. It was on Peacock when we played. I will say this. I didn't get to go to the game the last time we played them at MSG. But Peacock did a really good job at doing the history of the Georgetown-St. John's game. Mm. It was very cool. And they did a little Louis thing, too.
That's nice.
Very, very good. Peacock actually doesn't. I don't support when it's on a streaming service. I like it better.
Yeah, I don't. That's the only part I don't love.
But I do think they did a good job. Peacock does a good job.
They do a decent job. I just hate that you can't flip around. Although they do, I love their halftime coverage when they just give you like a live look at another game. That's great. I think that's a great way to do halftime.
You're already paying for the service, right?
So you might as well show me some other games. I don't love that you can't flip to other stuff. Anyway, let's look back at the previous Georgetown matchup. RJ led the team 19 points. Aaron Scott also had a phenomenal game. He had 14. He was 4-7 from three. If we could get shooting like that again from Aaron Scott, that would be very nice. To be honest, if we could just be 4-7 from three, period, as a team, that would be very nice.
That'd be a huge increase.
To see more than one three-pointer go in, I would love.
Yeah, we'll tell you this, though. When Simeon Wiltshire hit that three, it was electric.
Oh, listen, it was. Yes. I mean, when we do hit him, because we hit him so infrequently, it's a boost. It's kind of more of a boost than other teams. But we're going to have to hit a few more of those once we start hitting playing the Marquettes of the world. Micah Peavy led the all scoring, actually, but he dropped 21 for Georgetown. He's someone we certainly have to watch for. Thomas Sorber, he actually leads the team in points per game, but we held him in check last time. We hit only 5 points. If we can do that again, we'll be in a good position to win. Just to give you their net ranking, they're 82 in the net. So you can see they're kind of a middle-of-the-pack team. And they're certainly a middle-of-the-pack team in the Big East. Kind of, I guess, well, yeah, I would say almost true middle-of-the-pack, but not Providence is actually kind of closer to the middle of the pack. We also play them this week.
Yeah, they're in the same mix.
They're in the same. They're both 4-5. So it's, you know, there's kind of that breakdown. We talked about teams that can make the tournament, you know, from the Big East. There's the Marquette, us, UConn in the Big East. And then I think it's kind of Creighton, Xavier. And Villanova is either in that category or they're in the Providence, Georgetown category, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of...
I think Villanova could sneak in if they have a really good like second half to the Big East season.
Yeah, they've had a bit of stumbles more recently, but yeah, I mean, listen, they could get there. They could get there. Yeah. They're 5-5, 12-9 in the year. But I do think they're kind of in that third tier.
Yeah, well, I don't think they have a chance. So I think Georgetown is just outside of that.
Yeah, well, I think the Georgetown and Providence are kind of that they are that true, you know, third tier of the Big East. Yeah.
No, 100%.
Right. You know, then there's the fourth tier, which is just sad to look at, to be honest. The Butler, Seton Hall, DePaul section. Particularly after DePaul had such a kind of a nice start to the season. They have fallen back into their old trends.
Having 10 wins for them is nice.
Sure. They got 11 losses. So. Still better overall record than Butler and Seton Hall. But anyway, looking back at this Georgetown game, Nick, what do you think the key for St. John's is against Georgetown?
I think the key to this Georgetown game is going to be keeping Sorber in check. Sorber is one of the best freshmen in the country. He's leading the team with 14.8 points a game, 9.1 rebounds. He even has one steal and 2.6 assists, which isn't great. But he's their best player on their team. After that is PV. Outside of that, I don't think they're much of a threat, right? Jaden Epps is good. I feel like he's fallen off a little bit this season. But, you know, once you get past Sorber, then you just have to worry about PV. And one of them, listen, every team is going to have somebody who gets double digits, right?
Yeah, for sure.
You can make that only one person, you're going to win the game. And I think if we make sure that it's Sorber, and you listen, like, you know, it's going to be a battle between him and Zuby, right? Zuby's the best offensive rebounder in the country. I'm pretty sure Sorber is one of the best, like, defensive rebounders, definitely in the Big East, maybe in the country. So that's going to be the battle, I think. That's going to be the most important.
All right. I think you're right. I think we did a great job of it last time, right? 5 points for him. He did have 10 rebounds, but if we can hold him down to single digits again, like you said, even with PV scoring 21 last time, we were able to come away with the win. So keeping Sorber in check is a great key. For me, I'm going to go outside the box. I think the key for us will be to hit more than one three-pointer. And I think we can win even if we hit one three-pointer. But I think for us,
clearly
we can. But I think for us, it's key to start getting our three-point shooting in a place where it doesn't have to be our main focus, but where it can be a not a glaring area of concern, right? I think right now, when you're hitting one three-pointer, it's a wow, you can't shoot threes, right? So against teams like Georgetown and Providence, you can win games without it. But then you play Marquette, and they're just going to, you know, they're going to go, shoot the threes. Yeah. We'll let you shoot the threes because you're going to miss. And then we're going to get in our heads about it. You know what I mean? It piles on. So I think we really need this next few games kind of get our three-pointing in a place where it's, again, we don't need to hit 15, but if we hit four, you know, if we hit four, if we hit five, if it's a small part of our game, that's fine. But as long as it's not a huge detriment to our game. So I'd like to see us shoot threes. And I think that could be a key to winning the game.
I think you're right.
All right. The other game we have this week is Providence, like we talked about. 10-10 on the year. The Friars 4-5 in the Big East. This game Saturday on CBS Sports Network at Madison Square Garden. Make sure you get your tickets, get out there, and get loud. We played them very closely in our last game. It was a 2-point win, 72-70. So you know, even though they're not having the best season, they're a team that can get us. So make sure you go out and support. They'll play Seton Hall this week before they play us. They also just beat Georgetown, so they'll likely be on a two-game win streak when they head into the game against us. You know, the last matchup, we thought we might see Bryce Hopkins. They've once again lost Bryce Hopkins to a knee injury. I got to be honest, the poor kid can't catch a break. He missed all last season with a torn ACL, and then he re-injured a knee against DePaul, and he hasn't been back. And he's a great player. So it's really unfortunate to see him, you know, go through another season of struggle where I'm sure he was excited to get back. And not to, you know, I mean, obviously, we would be rooting for him not to score that many points. But still, you know, you got to give some credit where credit's due. You know, some disappointment when a good player gets hurt and misses, you know, obviously probably another a second season. It is tough to see.
You never root for anybody to get hurt.
Right, exactly. All right, so the two guys that you do have to watch out for, Jaden Pierre and Bensley Joseph, they both average 12. They're actually the only two guys on the team who average double digits. They showed that last time against us. They had Joseph had 17, Pierre had 16. But this is a team that, listen, they just went out and beat Georgetown, who's a you know, fairly decent team. But we did play pretty well against them, Zuby in particular. This is a pretty guard-heavy team in Providence without Bryce Hopkins, obviously. Zuby had 19. You know, I think this is another game where we may have to rely on Zuby a bit more because of how guard-heavy this team is. Davion Smith also had 16 in that game. It would be nice to get him back, but
yeah, we got to get him back in the mix.
You know, he's still coming back from injury. So
yeah.
The nice thing and the kind of weird thing is it's good to have him recovering and still winning games for us. So we've got a longer focus, right? We're focused on the Big East tournament. We're focused on the NCAA tournament. Let's not rush him back. Take the time, you know, let him get healthy and then step back into his role. Because when he plays, he's, you know, obviously a key member of the team, and he's absolutely fantastic.
Just like you said, we're playing a bigger game than just trying to win games and trying to scrap games to get into the tournament. Now we got to be playing more long term, right? So I agree with you that like we shouldn't have to rush him back, and especially not when we're winning, right? Not saying that we don't need him, because he would be a huge addition, or again, not addition, but because he was already there. But you know, putting him back in our lineup would really transcend our offense and our defense even more.
Right, and listen, he did play a little bit in the Seton Hall game. But he did not play. He did not play against Xavier.
I think that's a good idea, though, to put him in for a couple minutes, see how he's feeling.
Especially I think it's good to get him some minutes, get him back on that court. But let's get him healthy and then get him back. So we'll have to see. But this Providence team out rebounded us last time, which is also why I think Zuby is going to be a key element of this game. Now we did dominate them in turnovers. It was a plus 11 turnover margin for us. That's certainly, you know, led us on to victory. But I do think, you know, we got to get, you're going to see guys like Vince and Ruben Prey. They're going to get real minutes here because Providence is small. You could see those guys, you know, kind of contribute with, you know, particularly Vince at 7-1. Providence doesn't really have an answer for him. If I was Pitino, I think I'd kind of lean on my big guys a bit in this game and say, all right, let's go win this one down low, where they're, you know, they're not as skilled.
I think that's a good point too. If you try to back them down low too, you have to have the guards kind of help them, and then you could kick it out and try to get the three going a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. That's another way you can get the three going is by establish a low game early, and then start kicking out and getting the opportunities and
swinging it,
hopefully
around,
turning around our 3-point shooting.
There's got to be something in the water at St. John's, because we just it's multiple seasons, multiple teams, multiple players, different coaches.
Yeah, I don't know why we've struggled to hit the three so much.
A consistent 3-point shooter since Shamori Bonds. Before that,
We had Max Hooper on the team, who was the best 3-point shooter in college basketball history, but, you know, not for us.
Something in the water, man.
It's got to be. Listen, I think this is a week where we need to go 2-0.
Certainly.
Only because this is a week where we should go 2-0. And a stumble to either of these teams turns into, you know, the start of the next section, which is very hard of our schedule. Basically, this is, we play Marquette and we play UConn next week, right?
Yeah.
So we win this week and go into that, you know, the tough matchup, home against Marquette at UConn, with some confidence. A stumble here could hurt that confidence. But also, Nick, you know what could happen with two wins? We find ourselves virtually a lock for the NCAA tournament. We'd be at 19 wins on February 1st.
Yeah.
Think about that.
I have a whole another month, including at least one DePaul game.
And a Seton Hall game and a Butler game.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, 19 wins by February 1st, that's something we haven't seen in St. John's jerseys in a long time.
It's not in my lifetime. Not even close in my lifetime. I don't think in your lifetime. I don't think in Craig's lifetime.
Get these two wins, get to 19, and then, okay, going in, we've got, you know, the toughest week of our season coming up. Let's go in with confidence. Let's get the wins, and let's go from there.
And you know what? We're just better than Georgetown and Providence.
We are.
Like, we shouldn't lose to them. We are, if we are who we think we are, which is a top, I think you can argue that we're a top 15 team. If we get the three going,
I would
agree.
A top
5 team. We're just better than them. So if we think we're better than them, which we are, we can't lose to them. We're not going to them.
No, we should not lose to these teams. And listen, obviously you can throw up a clunker every once in a while. You know, it happens. But the at Georgetown game for me,
when you shoot 8% from the three, I think that kind of is a clunker, and we're winning anyway.
That's fair. The at Georgetown game, I think, is more scary for me. Just because it's on the road. Listen, we haven't lost at home yet. But the at Georgetown game, I think, is a little more scary for me. Mainly because I think, you know, Ed Cooley has had our number in the past. And I know it's a different team and I know it's a different school, but, you know, he's a good coach. As much as I hate him, he's a good coach. So not that Kim English isn't, but, you know, we beat Providence already this year. And we did beat Georgetown this year, but going on the road is always a little tougher. So I think that if we win on Tuesday, I'll feel more confident for the Saturday game.
Did you see that Kim English said that the only thing we're good at is getting rebounds and I think he said getting layups?
Oh, see, that's first of all, if Kim English is talking shit, that's already a mistake, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, Ed Cooley came out last game after we beat them and was nothing but nice and was like, hey, these guys deserve to be ranked. It's ridiculous they are, and people don't understand how good this team is. Kind words from a guy who, you know, St. John's fans tended to dislike quite a bit. If Kim English is talking shit with a 10-10 team, he's making a mistake. Just flat out, come to Madison Square Garden, you're going to find out. So good news is he'll get to find out on Saturday. And I didn't realize he said that. So let's hope we run him out the gym.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm beat him by 30. And I'm going to be obnoxious to their fans.
Good. Providence fans, top two worst in the league.
Who's number one?
No, UConn. I mean, UConn fans are unbearable. Providence fans are damn near close.
Duke fans are pretty bad.
Yeah, but I'm talking about in the Big East.
That's fair.
You got to put it's got to be UConn, Providence, Villanova. Like, that's the top three.
Did you see that? Hurley said that he to the ref that he was the best coach in the country.
He yelled that, apparently. By the way, that hit the Dan Hurley burnout is starting to begin.
Oh, yeah, he's looking like a toddler.
You go look at the game, you go look at that game that they just lost to Xavier. You go look at so Caravan fouled out, right? You look at those five fouls to be fair to UConn. Two or three of them really weren't fouls, right? But the problem is Dan Hurley's out there. He's, you know, he's talking bad about the refs. He's always complaining. Yeah. Sometimes it helps him. It certainly helps him sometimes. But I think now refs have kind of turned on him and it's starting to hurt him more. And when his team is not as good, because this UConn team is not as good as the previous 2 years, it's hard to overcome that aspect of the game. When your coach has pissed off the referees and all of a sudden they're going to start to call the game close, you're not going to get the calls you used to get.
And listen, like, I'm the best coach in the country.
What I mean, what is just the point ridiculous, too.
I mean, it's like, basically like, do you know who I am? It's like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah, why would you say that? And he's showing up the refs, and they don't like that. So I get it from their perspective, you know, at a certain point.
He's a little badger.
They'll take the yelling on the court and stuff like that. But when you go in the press conference and you talk about how bad the refs are, which he's done multiple times this year, you know, that's going to come back to hurt you. And I think we're starting to see that. So couldn't have a nicer group of guys, but let's hope they stay up in the rankings long enough for till next week when we play them.
They might be knocked out tomorrow.
Yeah, they'll probably still be ranked, but they fall behind us. They'll certainly fall behind.
They'll probably go down to, if they keep them in, it's 25.
Yeah, I think they'll be late, the second half of the top 20. In terms of the 20, like, they'll be, yeah, like you said, 25, 24, if they're ranked at all. So anyway, that'll do it. For Nick, I'm Vincent. Go Johnnies. Keep chasing.